we pray that you would use this time tonight toward that end. We thank you for each one that's come here, and we pray that everything that's said and done would honor and glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, thank you all for coming out tonight and making the effort to be here, getting out of your house, and getting in the car, coming down here. For some of you, that was a ways. Good to see the Murfields here. That was probably 45 minutes to get here, so we appreciate that. And they win the award probably for the longest drive. I don't think anyone else had a longer drive than that. So, but we do appreciate each one of you being here, and hope you had a good afternoon. Also, say hello to anybody that's watching online. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for listening as well, as we're also recording the audio of this service, and we appreciate that. We'd love to hear from you if you are watching. Tonight, we're doing something a little bit different. We have this interview, and so with the missionary, we're going to kind of abbreviate the earlier part of our service here. It's a little bit longer interview, and so I just want to give time for that. But we'll mention a few announcements here, prayer requests. We appreciate the Women's Ministry Fellowship Executive Committee ladies. They met tonight. Appreciate that. Again, Wednesday nights, we're going through the Quieting a Noisy Soul program with Dr. Jim Berg. And just encourage you to be here in church, in the building here if you can, Wednesday night. Or we are also streaming that. And you do have to have that link. So if you don't have it, let me know. And again, you can feel free to forward that on to somebody if you think they would benefit from it. You can do that. It'll be up until Friday, midday or so. We can't leave it up indefinitely, but just a few days in case you didn't get it. We do have an elders meeting on Thursday night that's planned, and Thursday night at 6:30. And then don't forget, I know it's hard to remember, but next week is time change. So spring ahead next Sunday. That's the one we really have to prepare for, and we're going to lose that hour. So just remember that. Saturday, March 27th, we're planning a church work day here, 9 a.m. to noon. And if you're able, plan to come. Just help spruce up the church, doing some spring cleaning inside. And there's also some outdoor projects that always need to be done as well. So that'll be for everybody that's able to come. Plan on that March 27th. I'll just mention a few prayer requests and praises here. Again, Crystal Smith has asked us to pray for her uncle, Vernon Lee. He was taken to the hospital down in Kentucky in Lexington with some strokes and seizures, so she asked us to pray for him. His wife was not able to go with him and lives quite a distance from the hospital there. And we're also praying for Sue Miller's nephew, Brian Pierce. He had an incident there as an officer, police officer, which resulted in finding out about some other medical issues, brain aneurysm. And so he is back home now, but we're praying for him and his mother as well, as Wanda Pierce, that we've prayed for. She's come through surgery, and that's sister-in-law to Sue. It's good to have Mr. Renard here. We are praying for his back and still dealing with that pain, and so just pray. He's got an appointment coming up this month regarding that. We want to pray for Mr. Robinson. Pastor Gossman mentioned he feels like, or Vaughn said he feels like he's losing strength pretty fast, and so just remember Vaughn in your prayers. And pray also for the Margraf's grandson, Granger. He fell, had to go to the hospital. He's 3 years old. That's Aaron and Jennifer's son. So just pray for him. And Scott was traveling this weekend to Indiana. He's home, so praise for safety for that. And then we're also praying for Rhonda's friend, Dottie, with arthritis issues. she asked us to pray. And then just with our country, you know, there's these bills that are being passed in the House right now. The Equality Act was already passed. And then this other bill, H.R. 1, has to do with the Voting Act, but it would basically make permanent a lot of the things that we saw in the 2020 election that weren't good as far as voting goes. And so let's pray for our country with those issues coming up. And there are some projects going on at camp right now. There's some changes there with Ashbrook Hall. They're putting on a new entryway and then also an addition for table storage in the back of Ashbrook Hall. And some preparations are being made for that. And there's a work team that's supposed to come. Is it next month they're coming or is it this month? Next month. And so pray for that. That's led by Mark Goldfuss from South Carolina. He usually brings up a team. And, of course, his mother from the Mentor area, her health is failing. And it seems doesn't have that much longer to live. And so so pray for the Goldfuss family as well as you think of that. Let's praise that we had the Joneses here this morning, Ed and Mary. It's good to see them back here. And so that was a blessing to see. All right. Any other prayer requests or praises you'd want to mention here? Yes, Ron. All right, this is Shirley Sutherland's sister, Dolores, and she was life-flighted to Bristol, Tennessee, is it? She had a stroke, and she's not able to speak real well right now. So pray for Shirley's sister, Dolores. We prayed for her in the past, and she's not doing well right now, so sure pray for her. Okay, anybody else? Anything else you want to mention? Yes, Pastor Gossman. All right, for Don Owen, having a lot of trouble with pain, that due to his hip that he's continued to have problems with. And so just remember Don Owen as we pray. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Mr. Reynard?
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken for Mr. Reynard. All right. All right, well, let's go ahead and sing again. Let's take our hymn books and we're going to sing number 530, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Let's all stand as we sing number 530, the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Glory, glory, God.
All right, we're going to have this video call here, and this is something I've been trying to do with our missionaries as they're able, just to interview them from time to time. We've had a couple of these over the past 2 years or so, 2.5 years, and the Zartmans are one that I've tried to get, and at first they weren't sure about the technology, but since COVID, I guess is how you say it in Mexico, COVID, they have had to use Skype and things like that more. And so we were able to have a conversation yesterday, and I was wanting to have this live here tonight, but just as we were testing it this week, it can be done still, but it's just another layer. We are live streaming right now, and then to have a live call with the live streaming, it gets to be a little bit complex, but maybe one of these days we'll be able to do that. But this is pre-recorded. It was yesterday that we were able to talk together. And now I do want to make an apology for the video. When I was on the call, the video looked a lot better than it does here. And Skype has something you can record the call in, and it records both people and puts them together. But when it does that, the camera frame changes on the other people. And so Tom and Jean are sitting, you know, on either side of their computer. Well, the camera frame changed to right between them. And so you don't really see them very well, except when they lean in sometimes. And I apologize for that. But I think you can hear them pretty good. So we'll just have to make sure we turn that audio up nice and loud, and so people in here can hear it. Even though I know I apologize, maybe the next one we can figure out how to make it better. So we'll go ahead and play this, and it's about 50 minutes, so that's about how long it is. I'll get the lights.
Okay, well, we want to welcome the Zartmans here to our video call, and good to have you with us here. And how's the weather down there?
It's lovely. Warm, about 80 degrees, maybe not quite.
That's
sunny.
Great. That sounds good. It's definitely not that here. Much colder, but it's... We have some sunshine right now, so thankful for that. And, 38 degrees, it says, at the moment. So, all right. So, glad to have you on here, and I wanted to do this for a while, but finally we're able to. And maybe we could just go ahead and start here. I know I feel like I don't remember meeting you for the first time. I think I've always kind of known who the Zartmans are, and I think you go back even beyond my time, and so I wondered if you could just give us some background on your ministry, where you're from, and how you've served over the years, and go from there.
Gene will be first.
Okay.
We knew you when you were a chubby little kid. And your parents and grandparents before that. My background is, you want me to go back, grandparents, back to the Pilgrim Fathers, or just sort of recent?
Yeah. Well, Adam and Eve starts there.
Okay. Well, my parents were in ministry, and when I was 11, they went to the Philippines as missionaries. And so that began my interest in missions. And then after high school, I went to the Lancaster School of the Bible to prepare for the mission field. And while there, one of the mission leaders who came was Henry Hiermans, who represented the Worldwide European Fellowship. And I became interested in that mission, especially when two couples went to Iceland with the mission, the first ones. And I thought, that's where I should go. And I did, and was there 7 years. And that,
That what years were those?
From 65 to 72.
Okay. Huh.
And then someone came and dragged me by the hair out of there. His turn.
Well, that's a new angle. I'm from Hanover, Pennsylvania, originally, and was saved in 1960 in the Green Mount Church in Maryland, just across the Pennsylvania border line. That was in July, and in September, I was in Lancaster School of the Bible. That's 1960, where I met my wife, to be. And after 4 years, I too joined West Ministries on the purpose that I would be going to Uruguay. But because they had no ministry outside of Europe other than Iceland, they wanted me to go to Spain to learn the literature ministry. So I was 2 years in Spain. I hit Spain in October of 65. By the way, Jane just happens to be the senior missionary here because she was in Iceland in September, and I didn't get to Spain until October. After 2 years in Spain, I went to Uruguay to be involved in the literature ministry with Portavoz Publications. And my purpose was to promote Portavoz Publications throughout South America as much as I could. I was able to travel in Argentina, Paraguay, Chile, and of course, almost every city in Uruguay. That was for 5 years, at which time I also worked with the National Church, helping in preaching and teaching in a Bible Institute. But I really learned more there, I think, than I helped them, because I was still in language process and so many other things as a single man. Then in 72, 7 years later, when I was going on furlough, I went back to Europe for the European Field Conference, and she dragged me off to Iceland. So then we got married and came to Uruguay. Okay. That's our update to our marriage.
Okay. Wow, so it's quite a bit before then, huh?
Yeah.
7 years. Actually, so she said yes, it was 12.
Okay.
Because I knew her 4 years in Bible school, and then we went to missionary internship, and the deputation came to 12 years.
Oh.
So he was in Uruguay for 5 years single, and we were there 5 years married, had two sons born there. Then we went to Colombia, and there we were 7 years. And then the fourth child was born, Juliana, the one girl was born in furlough between Uruguay and Colombia,
yeah.
Right. And then after 7 years in Colombia, we came to Mexico, Mexico City, Saltillo, and now here in Monterrey, 17 years already.
Wow, been that long.
33 altogether in Mexico.
Okay, okay, huh.
You can do the math from 65 to this year, how many years we've been on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do it, because we can.
It's quite a few. So, now, how did you, at what point did you come to be kind of based out of Ohio. I know that was at some point. How did that take place?
That took place when we left West Ministries. When we left Columbia, we joined a Bible Community Church, and at that time, we were directed to GFA with Dr. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember Ken Becker, he highly recommended us when he was pastor at Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from that time that churches in Ohio have been standing with us.
Mm-hmm. The reason we got to Bible Community was because your grandparents, the Ashbrooks, came to visit, and we met them. And when we heard about the school, and we thought, well, that's the place for us. So we got to Minister, Ohio.
Yeah, I remember you staying at my grandparents' home different occasions. And I remember playing with your children there. Reuben was one. I have a memory of roller skating with him in the driveway there quite a bit.
Hey. He was the youngest. He's your, yeah. He's of your age.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. First time we met you was when your parents came from Canada.
Yeah, okay.
And we were staying with John and your grandmother.
Uh-huh.
At that time.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, I know there were some stays there. It may have been more than one. I don't know. I remember
37?
I will be in a few days, yeah. 37.
Reuben will be 39 this year, no.
Okay, so he's a little bit older. So, okay, we're good. Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room, I guess, coronavirus. What has it been like dealing with coronavirus in your area, and how has that affected your ministry? I know that's the big question everybody's talking about, but sure it's affected you.
It's been just like where you are. We've been restricted, limited to the internet, basically, and everything. I used to spend a lot of time sowing the word, the gospel of John, and then later Romans and John combined. But with this coronavirus, and because of our age, I was prohibited basically from going door to door and being in the different colonias. But we have taken advantage of it to use the internet, because God gave us two, three young men that meet with us and know how to work this instrument, how to get us around and do everything. So that's what has been going on. We basically have had to plan more, probably, on getting these men to replace us, to take over. And so I've had more time to study and more time to do things that you sort of put aside if you're out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not been all that bad, but it's not been good. I believe if it wouldn't have been for that, I still would be out in the street distributing literature from door to door. It's been a big change for me.
Mm-hmm.
And for my wife, because I'm home.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we have been able to do is have people come, just one family or one couple at a time, for meals. And they're most of them willing to do that. There's only one couple that's afraid to go out the door, but others are out and about somewhat.
Uh-huh.
Our neighbors are mostly not out at all. They work from home. The kids study from home, and we miss meeting up with neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Too.
And
our regular meetings have continued on Skype.
On Skype.
Or Facebook.
Okay.
Or both.
Okay. So has do you have any indication of how severe the virus has been there, or is it just more preventative measures that they're dealing with?
Well, in Monterrey here, Nuevo León, there have been 10,000 deaths from the virus and over 100,000 cases.
Mm-hmm.
It was very soon. We were totally shut down for 2 or 3 months. They're trying to open up because this is an industrial area.
Mm-hmm.
We produce a lot of things that are used in the automotive industry and get things from there, and it's hurt the economy of the country. Now we can go out to breakfast from 5 in the morning to 12 at noon.
Hmm.
But we can't go to the restaurant after 12 o'clock. We can have church service until 12 o'clock for people like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Younger people can go to 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Sundays. But the older people have to be out by 12 o'clock. So we've not yet started services together as a group in our church building. That was just a week ago that started. So we're probably going to wait until after Holy Week to start services, get the input of all the people to see what's going on. It's not all a lot of people, you know, maybe 20 or so, but we want to try to find a time zone where the majority of the people could gather.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, it's affected a lot of people all over the world, and so I know we've read about you, you know, over the past few months here in your letters. Thank you for your letters. We appreciate that, and Yes. So it looks like you're going to be going to Texas this month. And is that still on?
It's still on, leaving Monday.
Okay. Now, how far away from you, how far from the border are you?
Well, let me say it this way. It depends how fast you drive. So it usually takes us, till we get through checkpoint and everything at customs, it takes us over 3 hours.
3 hours, okay.
From here to the border, it's probably 2, 2.5. Younger people do it faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another question here. Obviously, you've served for a long time, and what challenges have you seen develop in the area of missions, either on the field or with supporting churches? There's always challenges, but as you think about your service over these years, have you seen things develop? Maybe ones that concern you, or ones that maybe we can pray about how to. Maybe we don't have the right mindset on our side either.
Well, if you're talking about challenges as problems,
I guess you could call them that, I guess.
a basic problem all the years, all the time, will probably be relationships with other people. We had some good relationships. We had some bad relationships. You just have to know to live with them and work through them, get on with the ministry. One of the, I think, biggest problems for us is the change that we've found in the philosophies of missions and missionaries. They always are changing. When I went to Spain, I was a new member of the IFCA. Well, in Spain, from your great-grandfather, I got an article, "Can the IFC be saved?" And I wondered what in the world that was. Well, I read about everything they sent, and I just decided, well, I'm not going to renew my membership in the IFCA. I didn't cause any problems. I just went out. But that was the time that the folks in Ohio were also withdrawing from the IFCA. We didn't know anyone in Ohio. But I thought that that was my conviction. I should get out of it. So that was one of the first things we found. And, of course, most of the men in West Ministries at that time were IFCA members. I was never challenged about it from the mission. I did get it from a missionary on one occasion, a challenge that, you know, why I was not willing to converse with the Evangelical Fellowship of Missions, which was the counterpart to IFMA. But it never developed into any serious problem, just that you noticed there were differences of opinion. Well, when we left Uruguay and came to the States for a furlough, that's when Juliana was born, my home church was going to participate in the Leighton Ford campaign in Lancaster County. I was concerned about that, so I talked to the pastor, and he said, no way, we have no official relationship with that. So we went to Columbia, and while we are in Columbia, we learned that that particular church loaned its facilities to the Leighton Ford campaign to train people that would make decisions, and that the choir of that particular church would be in the choir of Leighton Ford. That campaign was held in the Roman Catholic premises, I think their football field. That was sort of a straw that broke the camel's back. But here I was in Colombia. What am I going to do? So we waited it out in Colombia. And when we went on furlough, 7 years later, I resigned from the church. I withdrew my membership. And that's when we joined Bible Community Church with your grandfather. There was some time later when we were in Mexico and we visited the home church of Gene that we got a meeting with them only after a member in that particular church on the mission committee insisted that the pastor give us the pulpit. Well, he did that, but what we saw that day, we knew we had to get out. So shortly thereafter, Jean left that church too. Well, she had been out of it. She'd been a member by the committee, but we cut relations with them because of their practices. It had a lot to do with their music. Then we had another church we visited on with a short furlough of a week. We were invited to the mission conference. And they supported, all these churches that supported us in 65, they were original supporters. And when we got back and gave a report to our director at GFA, I said, I think we're going to leave it. And he writes back, would you like me to do that for you? I said, yes. So he did that for us. And it's something that's, it's hard to stay on top of where your supporting churches are moving and what has taken place. A new pastor comes in and things change. He has a different program. One church had supported Jean from 65 when she went to Iceland. They changed denomination. And once the original church had used all their funds, they decided that, well, we're going to drop the support that the former church had of its missionaries. They still are missionary-minded, but they've taken another direction. Some churches, when we left West Ministries, also dropped us the support. They felt that we were really wrong in joining GFA because they were so Bob Jones. And you don't know how churches are going to operate. They don't know if we change either, which is, from their point of view, something they need to concern about. But I think that has been really the really basic problem that we have found. With your relationships, you can work through those. May take some time, but we're still grateful to God. We have, I think it's six churches that still support us since 65. That's a long time. And we're grateful for that. We have no problems with them. We don't go on verbal as frequently as most people, but we don't have any, haven't had any problems with that. We have still, did I say four?
Four churches
in Ohio that have been supporting us since we joined Bible Community Church. For 33 years, or a little better, almost 34. And yours is one of those. Some have closed. You get churches along the line that they stop existing. They close. They're too small to keep going. McConnellsville was one of those. That's just par for the course. But thankfully, the Lord always takes care of us, and we always have enough support coming in that we don't have to go home to raise support. My argument would be, who would want to support us? I'm 82. You know, you go looking for support. What church wants to take you on? But God keeps providing the funds. So that's our, it's not a problem. We just accept it from the Lord and go on from there.
As far as ministry, the main problem, I think, is indifference. People don't have any sense of need, no weight of sin, no fear of God, no fear of judgment. They're indifferent, so they're not really interested in what we have to offer.
For instance, we've been on this street 17 years in this same house. Now, neighbors have come and neighbors have gone, but they know who we are, but not one comes to church. We've seen not one in this street saved. And they're Roman Catholic. They're friendly. We couldn't ask really for better neighbors in the sense of a friendly relationship. We have had times when we organized a street when we got together, party, you know, a meal. When I turned 75, we invited all the people to celebrate with us in our garage, and they all came. They consumed almost 100 hot dogs. hot dogs and sauerkraut. Good.
Oh, wow.
Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah.
Nice Mexican dish.
Yeah.
Yeah, a good Mexican dish. We wanted to give them a taste of home.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good.
They like it.
Follow-up question. The man you mentioned that was having a campaign, what was his name? Was it an evangelist?
Layton Ford.
Okay, who was he?
He was with the Billy Graham team.
Okay.
Do you know who Billy Graham was?
I do know that, yeah.
Okay.
So that was some of the issue that, you know, is kind of the ecumenical evangelism.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
And this home church, years ago, had refused to participate in the Graham campaign in Philadelphia, New York. But when they came to Lancaster at Leighton Ford, they were almost trapped. The pastor, really, that came to that church then never joined the IFCA because he didn't like their separate position. And it was just a matter of time until we had to leave there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people may not be familiar with the just the problems surrounding that, and I guess what are some of those problems, and how do they continue today?
Well, they continue today with a lot of charismatics. You might get Luis Palau, if you ever heard of him. It's all charismatic, basically. Some of the other churches will work with them. We had this past year a large women's group. What was her name? Where Dupsie wouldn't go.
You mean Nancy Lee DeMoss?
Yeah, what's her name?
Nancy Lee DeMoss had
a
women's conference.
Something about the heart, they call it. And they came from Central America, South America, and it was the week when the COVID broke out. Just after that, the COVID was out, and some people were stranded here. They couldn't get back to their countries. We had two ladies from Nicaragua staying with one of the church members, and they couldn't get back. They come and then they see it and realize what's going on. But it's a problem. And of course, you always have the ecumenical movement in some form, some way, trying to accomplish its goals. When we were in Uruguay, Luis Palau was a problem there as well. He was in Argentina and wanted to come to Uruguay, so he sent representatives, and we were living 4 or 5 hours from Montevideo, from the capital, and they came out and they wanted us to pay to put his radio broadcast on the air. And we had our own radio broadcast. Well, we won't do that. We have our own broadcast to go somewhere else and get your support. But it's very subtle, and it comes in. I've once heard it explained by a missionary from Africa. It's like a straw in the wind. You can't grab it, really. And it's not going to go away. And every day, we just have to keep separating ourselves or compromising. And you have to make a decision. What are you going to do? You guys are probably facing that in the OBF. Because the old men are dying off. Young men are coming in. The IDs change. So it's something we face. I think that's a harder problem than the indifference of the people. I can put up with their indifference. but I have a hard time with these guys that want to compromise everything. We've worked on that with some of the men here on being separate. Do you know the Nine Marks movement?
Yeah, I've heard of it, and I'm somewhat familiar with it, yes.
Okay. They were to have meetings here, but because of COVID, it was canceled. And one of the men who heads up their literature, now living in the States, is from Monterrey, a fellow by the name of Montemayor. They have some good men and some good preachers, but I don't want to see the people getting involved with them because they're going in a different direction. Is it the Yellow for the Gospel or Gospel Coalition? They're associated with one of those groups.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's go to reaching people here in your area. How would you say that maybe is different from reaching other people in other places in the world? Is there anything that's different? Is there anything that's the same, you'd say, anywhere you go?
Well, Jean gave me the answer to that today, so I'll let her tell you.
Okay.
Oh, about the education?
No. Oh, well, whatever.
We've always worked or mainly with poor people. Not only poor economically, but unlearned. You know, they haven't an education. Working people. But here in Monterrey, all our neighbors are college graduates. And the people that come to church are largely well-educated and have good incomes. So it's a different picture, but there's still no sense of need, of sin, of offending a holy God. So why should they bother?
We are the less educated people in the church.
Really?
Even my car mechanic is an engineer.
Huh.
He has a title. All we have is a little piece of paper from Lancaster that we went to Bible school, which basically doesn't mean much to most people when you think of education. That's an amazing thing. We've never worked with people like that, so many of them, before.
Huh. Is that change, I would assume they're readers, obviously, and literate and
computer literate.
Yeah. Computer literate.
Computer
okay.
Literate. Yeah, there's a difference. When you think of readers, all their children are with their iPhone or their cell phone or whatever they have, playing their games or doing this and looking at that, communicating with their friends because they weren't allowed to communicate with them at school or anything. So they're on this machine all day long. But get them to read a book is absolutely different. It's very different. They're not reading books. I once was in the book business, and I got out of it because of the compromise I saw coming. But if you had a bookstore today, you can't make it on books. You've got to sell other things. And when we went back to the bookstore in Spain a number of years ago, I was amazed. All the articles of clothing and other things that they were selling to make money, to have the profit, to keep it going. Books won't work. You can't compete with Amazon. If you got to pay rent, you got to pay personnel to work for you. How are you going to do it selling books? You don't make more than I guess the most you make is probably 30% now. So it's really a bad business to be in. People make more money selling books online. It doesn't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy a book, you pay the shipping.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know what you're doing, Kindle. but that is a problem. I would think probably the people in the poorer neighborhoods where I distribute literature probably read that book more than the people on this street would read it. It would set it aside.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We worked in Saltillo. We worked 5 years with this two families in one of the same neighborhood. And after 5 years of weekly Bible studies in there, not one was saved. They enjoyed us coming. They liked to be in the meeting. They sing. If the children were there, you give them a piece of candy or something. There were the adults to receive it. They were just friendly. But they, not one was really interested in getting rid of sin in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand really what sin is. That particular people, immorality didn't exist. What we saw is unbelievable. And the gospel never penetrated them, but God gave them a chance.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those things sound the same in our situation too. But just as you think about Christians and maybe think about our church, what's one thing that a Christian could do to improve their witness for Christ? You know, just what would you say to Christians in our church? How can we improve our witness?
Well, I think basically it's having your heart right with God. You have your heart right with God because you meditate His Word. You pray. And that's when God will begin to give you a right witness for people. Doesn't mean that everyone you witness to is going to accept you, but you're going to witness for the Lord. You're going to be a witness. Your life changes. People see it. None of our neighbors here complain about our being Christian or having a meeting. We had meetings here for years in our home. No one complained about that, but they just didn't come. They weren't interested in it. They know the change, and some of our neighbors will come and ask for favors. You know, hey, we get up and we don't have eggs for breakfast. You have a spare egg or so, and they're not poor people. You know, there are people who can buy eggs. They just run out of eggs, forgot to get them at the store. There's a neighbor now. Because of his work, he works from home, and his children are not allowed to go to school here. So he moved to another city, 6 hours away. That's where he's from, he and his wife. And they went back there to live and continue his work from there. Well, they gave us their house keys, their car key that they left there, and said, keep your eye on it. So that's the kind of confidence they can put in us. It speaks well, you know, but they have no interest in Christ. And I'll pay their water bill, or we send them their other bills if they can pay them. There's a man who's, he'll give me $50 when I go to Texas. He'll say, bring me back Dove soap, because it doesn't irritate him, and if he buys it here, it does. So I buy him $50 worth of soap and bring it back. The confidence that the people put in you, because they know you. But the sad thing is, that's as far as it goes, if we can do them a favor.
Mm-hmm.
But they're watching. They're watching us all the time. And they know who we are. They know when we go to bed. They know when we get up. They sort of laugh, you know. We go to bed early. We get up early. And the other day, a neighbor said, I heard the door shut. Come get up. It's 5 o'clock. Well, I go out to pick up the newspaper. And the gate closed a little loudly. And they're next door neighbors. You probably have neighbors of the same that are friendly with you, kind, and everything, do anything for you. When I lost the car, the neighbor took me down to the police station and waited with us for hours. It must have been after 11 o'clock. And then he says, well, let's go have supper. I said, well, we don't eat supper at 11 o'clock. Let's just go home and go to bed. But, you know, he didn't complain. Things like that are notable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So just live as close to God as you can. Keep your heart sound. There's a psalm that says that, the last verse of one of the psalms, let my heart be sound in thy sight, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, how's your family doing? Where are all of you children now? I know they're scattered abroad. But.
Well, we can tell you where they are, but how they're doing, we don't see them either.
Yeah.
Doing well.
So my wife will give you the...
Okay.
Joe David and his wife Katrina are in Pennsylvania. He's pastoring a church. It's called Westside Baptist Church.
Thomasville, Pennsylvania.
Right outside of Hanover. And they live in Hanover, which is where Tom was born and raised. Then the second one is Benjamin. He's in Rhode Island. He has a wife and 3 daughters. And he translates for the message of the pastor into Spanish for the Hispanics that attend church. Then Juliana is married and has a boy. And they are in Bakersfield, California. They labor in a church there.
Crossway
Bible Church. That they've been there now many years. And Reuben and his wife Heidi have no children. They pastor a church in Shafter, right outside of Bakersfield.
Okay.
And that's
so they're two in California.
3 daughters.
Okay. Great. Is there anything else you'd like to say to Morrow Bible Church?
Thank you very much for your prayers and gifts.
We sure appreciate you. And we'd like to hear from anybody that likes to write.
All right.
Is Mr. Robertson still there?
Robinson,
yes. Yes. He's developed Parkinson's, and so he's not able to get out as much. And then, with COVID, he's not been able to come out.
If you see him, give him our greetings.
Yes, yes, we'll do.
He was a treasure for years from whom we
yes.
are.
Yes, yeah.
And, of course, greetings to Marvin and Beth.
Yes.
I'm not sure about this, but I was thinking about this. I think we may have been the second missionaries that Morrow has sponsored. Don Garwood was the first, if I'm not mistaken. That's when they still had church in their house on the campgrounds.
Yeah, yeah. So that would go back to the mid-80s sometime, probably.
Yes.
Yeah, Don Garwood was supported by them when he came to Uruguay before we were married.
Oh.
Then when we went to Ohio, I was in the church in the house in camp, and that's when they started to support us.
Oh. Yeah, so it's been a few years. So.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you for coming on here, and it's been great to see you and hear you. And we'll go ahead and show this to the church probably tomorrow night, and I was trying to see if we could do it live, but I think it would be a little too tricky to get it up in the screen in there and get everything just
that's
right.
That's why you can cut half of it out.
Yeah, you can edit it. Please edit it. All of our mistakes.
Yeah. No, that's good. But I was wondering if we could have prayer here, and maybe you could lead us in prayer, and then I'll close us.
Okay. Our gracious Father, we give thee thanks for the opportunity to speak with Stephen, to see him. After all these years, we thank thee for his life, for his wife, for their children. We thank thee for the church. We pray that thy hand would be extended over their lives, providing, protecting, working to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Morrow Bible Church for so many years being so faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for their stand. We thank thee for their love. We thank thee, Father, that thou art good and doest good. Thou canst do nothing but good for thy people. And we thank thee today and pray that thy hand will continue to give guidance and direction, and the ministry will come to the fullness of the stature of the man in Christ. In his name we ask, amen.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Zartmans. Thank you for their faithfulness over the years, and we pray that you would continue to use them and protect them, keep their health, we pray. And we pray that you would open up hearts there and think of these neighbors and ones that can see them, see their life and their testimony. And we pray that you would do the work that's needed. We ask that the word would go forth, even in these times when there's the restrictions on the meetings. We pray for that to be lifted. There would be meetings be able to take place. And so we pray for wisdom in these days. We pray for Zartman's family and their children and grandchildren. And we ask that you would work in their hearts and help them to grow in you and to follow you. And we thank you for this time we've had here to fellowship together. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I did it a little bit at the end. All right, maybe somebody can turn on the lights there, if you would please, and let's take our hymnals. We'll sing a song as we close. 435, let's all stand together. Lord, speak to me, 435.